I'm Anne-Marie Kelly, and you're listening to Are You Blind or What?
Are you blind or what?
A radio documentary recorded throughout 2023. It follows the journey of 30 people who, with the guidance of Kieran Taylor, have to construct a live radio play. They are all blind or visually challenged. It is the story of adjusting to a world without visible light and discovering where it truly is. This programme is made in association with the Sightless Cinema Network and is funded by the Arts Council.
Well, have a watch that talks to me.
Today is Tuesday, September 12, year 2023.
The challenge that we've set ourselves, what can we do with 30 blind people on stage to make a live audio play for the audience?
Okay, out, little Robin, out.
Are you okay? I heard screaming.
I'm not okay and you're late again, Patricia.
What's wrong?
This thing about noises and sounds and all, that's all new to me. And I say to myself, what the f*** am I doing?
The whole process that I use with Sightless Cinema is, you know, taking people from the start and just ask them to throw themselves in the deep end, give things a try.
I worked until my visual impairment and that retired me. But I loved working and it was my centre of my life and then it was gone.
Well, it gets me out of bed and gives me something to look forward to every Tuesday morning.
We're probably bringing together on stage the most amount of blind and visually impaired people who have been together on a stage in Ireland before.
The challenge is set to create a radio play for a live audience in November. So what might a radio play sound like? Well, the BBC's Goon Show is one to start with.
This is the BBC Home Service.
Big Brother is watching you.
Oh!
Listeners! You are warned! This programme is not to be listened to!
So just like the Goon Show, everything will be done live. Sound effects, music, voice, the lot. And it's all Kieran Taylor's idea. From Sightless Cinema.
The whole process that I use with Sightless Cinema is, you know, taking people from the start and just ask them to throw themselves in the deep end, give things a try. There's no right or wrong. You're not acting, you're just having a conversation. Then you start to develop ideas from that, from whatever just comes out randomly.
Now let's begin. The workshops have just started. It's February. We're in the Dun & Mays Arts Centre in Portlaoise, where 12 members have gathered. All have various levels of blindness. In the early stages, Kieran asked them to think about sound and the sounds they hear outside so they can build stories from that sound. In this case, it's a bird.
Anything occurring to you about what the scenario might be or what might happen, you know, or the different interaction with the scenario of the bird? What would you add to it? What would it need? Where do you think it could go?
When the bird is in the kitchen, you could have crashing noises of plates hitting the floor and stuff falling off shelves.
General mayhem.
Yeah, it's crashes. How do you get that fear across? Like, how would you...
You put in a scream there.
It's a group reaction. Bird comes in and everybody goes...
And just like that, he had them all talking about the bird. And that's where the story begins.
Noreen, I'm still outside. Are you inside? Did you get rid of
that
bird?
Yeah, stay there now. I'm trying to get him out here. Come on, fella. Come on. Out.
I'm really enjoying this and mixing with people and acting out scenes and listening to them making scenes. It's wonderful.
What am I going to do? I'm terrified of the bird. Oh no, he's coming in the window. Go away, bird, go away.
I need his beady eyes.
I get under the breakfast bar.
From Portlaoise, this is Deirdre Honan, who actually does have a fear of birds.
What do you enjoy most? Is it the creation of it, or is it the meeting of people?
The meeting people, the company, and Kieran giving us and building up things, a bit of theatre that I wouldn't be familiar with. I'm really enjoying that, yeah.
What did you learn so far that you might not have come across before?
Yeah, what I learned? Well, I'm able to talk now a bit better. I was always good at talking, but I'm a bit better at it now. And mixing with people and acting out scenes and listening to them making scenes. It's wonderful. And I'm looking forward then that Kieran is bringing down another group, a totally different group, and we'll be mixing with them and hearing their ideas. Being part of a group is nice.
So tell me about your everyday life.
I worked until my visual impairment, and that retired me. I worked a Tuesday, surgery on Wednesday in February 2020, and no work since. And I worked years and years and years. But I loved working, and it was my centre of my life, and then it was gone.
Where did you work?
I'm a GP.
Oh.
Yeah. So I worked in Portlaoise in a practice.
Okay.
That I set up years ago in 1985.
So what happened with your... What did you...
With my eyes. I had glaucoma in my left eye for some years, but I was managing away because I had a very good right eye. And suddenly in February 2020, I developed a retinal detachment where the back of my eye came off. And I'm very bad, and it's just got progressively worse.
Have you sight in your left eye?
No sight in either eye, no. I have a tiny speck in my left eye. I can see your outline. I can see that you have earphones on,
yeah,
and you're wearing glasses.
That's right.
Yeah.
How did you deal with it?
Badly, be honest. I found it very hard going, but I had hope, you see. The hope kept me going for a while. And then when I suddenly when I did realise after five surgeries that whatever the consultant said to me that he thought it would improve, thought, but I could never see. So I said, well, if I can't see, there's really not much hope. I live on my own in a two-storey house, but I'm able to manage the stairs. I'm able to manage the house. I can't cook, though. And I loved cooking and I loved entertaining, and that's all gone. I loved people and talking, that's grand. But, I mean, I can't go out the front door on my own.
How do you manage cooking then now?
Well, I've a very nice lady with me, Deirdre. She's another Deirdre. She's with me for 35 years while I was working.
Right.
While my husband worked abroad and the children were small and that. And she stayed.
She's your right-hand lady.
Yeah. She does everything, really. Do you know, I don't go to the practice anymore. I miss it terribly, yeah. But I can't see my garden. I loved the garden. I can't see the flowers, or I can't see... You could come in and say to me, what do you think of that? I can't see it.
Oh, look. It's in my hand. Hello, little bird. Do you know somebody in this house? Oh, you're such a lovely bird. And we so love to see little robins.
I don't know about that, Patricia.
Deirdre, come out from under there. Look, the robin's looking at
no,
you.
No, I hate his eyes. Get rid of him.
Okay, come on, little robin. Oh, little robin, out you go.
Is he out? Gone.
Featuring Deirdre, Trish and Marion. That piece was called The Uninvited Guest. It's April, and the next stage is to teach them rhythm and chorus with the help of Celtic women singer Deirdre Shannon.
You know, I've been trying things out with the various groups and certain ideas are sort of sticking, and I'm trying to find a way to what ties it all together. And, you know, they miss being able to see, and they miss what they could do. And this is about opening a whole new world and go, well, there's lots of other ways that you can enjoy the world, and you can be creative, and you can use sound to evoke the sound of the voice, you know, the resonance in the body of sounds. All of these things are very powerful. And that's something that we'll be working on when we have, you know, 28 or 30 people on stage. It's going like, well, what sound can we make together that gives this sort of emotional resonance, you know?
I'd really spit out the D. And come in sooner on that second doolaman. Like, it's almost like it creeps up on you. Okay, try that again. Like, there's a very definite pulse in that. It was like, and it kind of brings your heartbeat, you know, and you have to internally make the pulse. You have to be almost kind of 1, 2, 3, 4, and it makes you come alive because every bit of your body feels the pulse. That's great.
You know, when you're all chatting there on top of the rhythms, but the rhythm was keeping going underneath. And that's what singing in a choir is as well, you know. It's like that suddenly all the disparate voices become one, you know.
Have you always been blind?
No. I mean, this may come in to be 5 years.
Backstage, I meet Ger McHugh from Laois.
a former biker and professional gardener. He's brought to rehearsals every week by his dad, John.
Back in 2018, I had a stroke. I suppose technically that sped up the loss of the eyesight. Like, so that was my entire life destroyed. I take things in my stride, so it's like, yeah, sure, another little complication, sure, whatever. Like,
really?
First of many, sure, but keep going.
Where did you get that from?
The oafle up there behind you.
And would you have a good relationship with your dad? He brings you here.
Oh, he's great, yeah. Yeah, absolutely brilliant, fairness him. He's no real choice because he had me, like, so. He's stuck with me. Can't trade me in for a new model, like.
John's biggest worry is what will happen to Ger if he's not around.
We go golfing next Saturday. He can't see or hit the ball, but it's great fun watching him clubbing the ground.
So do you have to guide him then when he's...
Yeah, everywhere. He's gone. He wasn't as bad as this all the time. He's gone very, very blind. He's in a grey area the whole time. He's putting it down to a bit of blindness and a stroke, or a stroke rather, then blindness. But in fact, he also had a subcranial bypass, and I think that probably shocked us more, because going for the operation to join an artery and a vein inside in his head, other than that, he would be dead. I'm 76, his mother is 74. We're not going to last an awful lot longer. And we would feel that maybe if we're not there, he's more or less on his own, that's it. There's nobody with him now today. The girl comes to him in the morning, so she's not there today to make a sandwich and do... keep an eye on if he's getting a shower. She's there while he's in the shower. But
he's just not in the shower with me, like, I'm just there in case.
Do you get tired?
Who, me? Yeah, I do occasionally. Like, I've had a lot of health problems myself. We still stay going. We're fine. But I know he can manage himself. Like, it just means that it's a little tougher on him.
Technically, it should be me looking after them, or me going up and doing the garden for them, or me doing bringing in the bags of coal or whatever it is. Instead, it's the other way around. Like, he worries about me. To what extent, I don't know. I think they probably over worry. Like,
yes.
Where I'm kind of going, look, if I f-ing caricature, I caricature. Well, it, like, I'll be grand. I'll be less ass than everybody. Like,
Ger has two daughters, Sarah and Maeve.
Like, I know what Sarah looks like because she's. An older woman, like, it's grand. And even the likes of Maeve, I know what she looks like. But Maeve was 5 when I had the stroke, like. It's now 5 years later. I know she's 10. I have a rough idea what she looks like, but only a very rough idea. Like, when she's a teenager, I'll have no idea how pretty or not pretty she is, like. I won't have a clue, like.
Ger McHugh, speaking of his daughters. In part 2... building a story from the everyday life of being blind and having a magical moment in Houston Station. You're listening to Are You Blind or What? A radio documentary with Anne-Marie Kelly following the journey of a large group of blind or visually challenged people who have to make a radio play for a live audience. The month is May, and we're on our first trip to Dublin on the train from Portlaoise. In the Civic Theatre in Talla, Ciarán is waiting to bring all three groups together, Navan, Talla and Portlaoise, to extract their own stories for the live play. And first, Ger is talking about the blind apps on his phone.
OK, Google, what is the weather forecast?
It'll be partly cloudy, with a high of 18 and a low of 8.
I can kind of highlight what's on the phone and it'll call out whatever is there in front of me.
How do you do that? You tap something?
Yeah, there's a little kind of a thing down at the bottom of the screen. Now, you can't see it. I can't see it either. But it's just that I know where... No, you can't feel it. But I just know where it is.
Well, I mean, I know about some apps called Be My Eyes. Have you got that one on your phone?
I have that one, yeah. If I say for argument's sake, I was looking up a piece of written work.
Okay.
Is that a tin of peas or a tin of carrots? Like?
Right.
I can call the Be My Eyes app, and there's a person like yourself who will come onto the phone, you'll hold the phone out and they'll be able to hear you talking. And you'll say,
Ger McHugh, sharing tips about the apps on his phone with the group Marion, Kathleen and Val. Val is 83. He recently moved to Portlaoise from Spain and his near miss of the Portlaoise train forms a big part of the story, as you'll hear later on.
And so far, how have you found the cyclist cinema? Are you enjoying it?
I am, and I'm, you know, I'm not that interested. It gets me out of my apartment. And once I take an interest, I follow it through. I've been at every session, and I haven't missed a session yet. So I'm not an actor, but I'm a chancer.
And Val nearly missed the train this morning.
I left the apartment at 7:55, plenty of time to get a bus. And I walked down the avenue to the main road, and I was waiting there. And a good few buses came, but they were all school buses. So eventually a bus came at 8:20.
And Val's near train miss helps Ciarán build a story.
We don't have a play as such yet. We're looking for the play. We're searching for the play. We have a sort of a team and a whole series of ideas from stories that I've heard from you recently and some in the past.
Well, they say you find magic in the simple things in life. As Val retells his story to Ciarán, they build sound effects and chorus around him.
Like it's happening now. I'm running for the train. And can everyone repeat that? I'm running for the train. So you're going to do one line at a time, Val, OK? The phone rings.
I'll talk to you then. I'm at the station now, and oh, jeez, I've a load of stairs to go up. Give me a chance, I can tear that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Other members share their own stories of the difficulty of getting from A to B.
Like Barry, you might walk into Anne Summers instead of Abracababra and ask for the €5 special. True story, Barry, isn't it? Moira, you gave us a story about the bus man who says...
is this bus going to Dublin? He said, can you not read?
Yeah.
He's very rude.
Ger, you told us the story of... You were doing your insulin and then you lost the needle on the ground. And
a little kind of a pen, yeah. But you screw on the needle on top, yeah. And you have a couple of covers to take off the needle. Yeah. That was grand, so I put them into the bin as proper. Like. And then I unscrewed the needle and I thought I had it over the hole in the sharps bucket, but it wasn't over the hole in the sharps bucket, it was over the edge of the press.
Yeah.
And next thing it landed on the floor. So, of course, I had to go around and find the needle on the ground.
Yeah.
Stuck in my finger, have I found. No. You could have had a magnet. Yeah.
You don't have a magnet?
No.
And this happens. If I lose anything, I have to get down on my knees and crawl on the floor.
Well, that's terrible. Do you not have everything with you that you need? No.
No, my rucksack is not that big.
So sorry, Maury, just lastly, you have to crawl around, yeah?
I'd have to crawl around, I have to get down on my knees, especially if I'm in the house on my own and I lose something.
Yeah.
And like, I can often hear it falling, but it's not always there when
not when you think it landed,
For instance, like, my earring was blow drying my head the other day, and the earring went flying, and I said, right, I know immediately where it was. No. But it wasn't anywhere I thought it was. I had to get down on all fours.
Well, it's becoming much clearer to Ciarán that there's plenty of stories to draw from, and there's a pattern forming. Stories of getting from A to B, a simple mistake of dropping a needle or an earring. On the lunch break, I meet two members from the Tala Group, John O'Brien from Wicklow and Martin Kelly from Newbridge.
Yeah. Come in, huddle in. So Martin you're from the Tala Group?
I'm from the Talented Group.
Taliban.
What's your name?
John O'Brien, but I live in Wicklow.
I'm Martin Kelly and I come from a place called Newbridge in County Kildare, the Thoroughbred County.
Well, we only got to know each other because we went... Well, Martin got completely blind. I only lost my sight, so I can see a bit...
So how did you lose your sight?
I had a stroke.
Recently?
About 10 years ago. I was in rehab in Dundee for a year till I got back on my feet. I didn't know who I was.
Right.
I was that far gone. But now, I won't say I'm back to normal. I'm not who I was going to be. I used to do a lot of hill walking and running in the mountains and cycling. And sure, it's very difficult to do those things now.
But your attitude is good, is it? You're positive.
I'm very positive.
Good, Martin.
You have to have a positive attitude, yeah.
Martin, were you blind?
I have an eye disease.
Okay.
I used to play football. I was represented Ireland at the Paralympics.
Really?
Yep. Back in the 80s.
And so since then, it's got worse and worse, has it?
It's a progressive eye disease, yeah.
And how do you cope with that?
Try to be as active, because I was married, but my wife passed away, so I'm on my own now, so I have to try and...
you know.
And so with voices then, like mine.
Oh, I'm very astute when it comes to people, and I do listen to people, you see, like inside. I do be listening to what Kieran's saying. You have to listen, you see.
And that's a great trait anyway.
Well, I was a telephonist, you see, as I was progressing, so you have to listen.
Yes.
And picking, I'm great for numbers. John would say, I'm great for the numbers. If you give me your mobile number, I'd remember it.
Okay. Don't give me a mobile number. He doesn't need to record it, he'll have it.
I'm going to give you a number now of a Talon Motors, right? 01-451-7447. I'll ask you in a few minutes' time.
How do you process that, Martin?
I'm trying to register it in my head, you see. Yeah.
See, what's that number? Do you remember the number?
Yeah.
Go on.
541-7447.
Is that right?
451-7.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Look. I have to say, you're both quite energetic in the group. You're bringing a great energy with you.
Yeah. But we try to, though.
Do you ever go to dark places?
What does that mean? No. Oh, we're in the dark.
Yeah, we're in the
You
dark.
Are in the dark. Yeah. I meant in your mind.
No, I know.
No, I don't allow it. Because the men's group I go to, that's the first thing the lady says, what number are you at today? I said, I'm always 10, because I don't want to go any lower.
Are you always 10?
Try.
Are you ever at 5?
I can't even remember being at 5. Oh, maybe when my wife died, yeah. I didn't go out for 2 years.
After she died?
Yeah.
How did you get out of that rut then?
Firstly, with Giant Cycle Cinema, strangely enough.
Cycle Cinema?
Yeah. That was the first thing I did.
And then was it a realisation then, this is how I'm going to
get... That's how you meet people when you're out and about. If you stay in your house, you meet nobody.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah. And where did you grow up?
In the Curragh camp.
So you have a bit of... rural nature in you.
Very much so. I can milk cows and goats. Do you know why the farmers have a three-legged stool for milking a cow? Bet you won't know this.
I don't know. Why?
The cow has the udder. Is that true, John? He knows that. He's from Dublin.
Do you know this about chickens? The yolk of an egg. Where were you from, did you say?
Leash.
Yeah, but did they say, when your mother was around, did she say the yolk of an egg is or are white? What word did she use? Is white.
Is, yeah.
So say the sentence, the yolk of an egg is.
The yolk of an egg is white.
Well, it's funny, in which order yellow?
I'm not going to leash for eggs, are they? It's yellow.
I better bring you back in.
You better.
John O'Brien and Martin Kelly from the Tala Group telling me egg jokes. After a big day, the Portlaoise group arrive back in Houston Station to get the Portlaoise train. Val spots the public piano. He grabs Marion and she starts to play. Unaware, a large crowd gathers round her. It's a beautiful scene. Val is in full Dublin voice, Marion rocking back and forth at the piano, the audience unaware of their blindness. All are in full flight, carried away by the moment.
What is it? Remember Me by Christy Hennessy. I'm a self-taught. I play by ear, you know. Are you gone, Val? Are you gone?
Yeah, no, I'm still there.
Okay.
I'm amazed.
I heard it being played. I just wanted to go over and have a go at sitting down at it. So that was nice. It was the first time I ever did that. But I've passed through Houston Station on many occasions. And I would have wanted to do that. So that's the very first time I had the opportunity to do that and the courage to do it.
Well, there was lots of joy, wasn't there, Val, on people's faces? People were smiling and clapping.
Oh, yes.
Strangers. Yes.
They were smiling and clapping, and one gentleman was listening at the very beginning, and he stood there and he came over to me and he says, oh, she plays beautiful. And I said, thanks very much. You see, I have to go now. Of course, he shook me hand and said, that lady plays beautiful. So I told Marion that, and she was delighted.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. It was a lovely moment, I thought, to end the day.
Bit of fun, yeah.
Marion heard she was going to lose her sight at the age of 23.
It was described to me as, at the time, can you imagine a mirror, you know, and the silver on a mirror, and then the central part of the silver is gone.
Right.
And he said, and that's gradually going. And I said, all right, thank you, and left. And it was only when I was en route back home that something started to dawn on me, that it was, at that time, described to me as a degenerative eye condition. That was it. That's the way it was told to me. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? They said, well, we don't know the cause of this, and we don't know. There is no treatment available. So you more or less have to learn to live with it. And I said, and what does that mean in real terms? And they said, well, you know, could you lose your eyes? Is this you're losing your eyes? And they said, well, yes. And I said, and how long will this take? And they said, well, we don't really know. Like, it was all very honest, Anne-Marie. But, you know, when you're only in your early 20s, that came for me immediately as a shock. I thought, well, I haven't travelled. You know, maybe what you should do is just carry on with your life, go here, there and yonder. If and when you lose your eyesight, that you will be able to live off your memories. And that worked for me. What I did is I enjoyed what I could see. That's the way I lived. Luckily for me, it was a gradual deterioration of sight loss, which meant I was adapting all the time without almost realising I was doing it. So I was very lucky, Anne-Marie. I had a good... Each person has a challenge of some kind or other to deal with. And this was mine. You know, some people would say, oh, I'd hate to lose my eyesight. But I'm happy with it because it's part of me.
Well, I have to say the highlight of my day was hearing Marion playing the piano in Houston Station, especially after valsing and so on. So.
Did you think you got a lot out of the experience?
Oh, you had a great day.
But it's amazing how sound can change your perception of whatever what's actually going on. Like, I think a lot of it is more that he's encouraging us to use our own stories. Like, he's taken all our different versions of different stories that we've all had or gone through or whatever else, and then he's combining that all into kind of one bigger mess.
You're listening to the making of Are You Blind or What? A live radio play made by the blind and visually impaired. Coming up, the water boy's Steve Wickham shares a moment with Sean he'll never forget.
So, Ger, we're back on the train.
Yeah, again.
October the 16th today.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing the format for the live performance, like, to kind of get which way the play is going to be or what the play is going to be.
And what is the play going to be?
It's called Are You Blind or What?
It's October 16th. Summer has passed and we're back on the train to Dublin. Steve Wickham of the Waterboys fame has joined the group supplying fiddle and guitar and today's warm-up.
Everything's gonna be all right. Don't worry about a thing.
So, very welcome again. Thanks for making the journey. Great to see you all. We're missing a few characters. We'll try and concentrate on sort of sections today. Try and build up towards an overall structure and piece. So Steve is with us again today. Say hello, Steve.
Hello, everybody. We've got to get you all singing today. So.
Yeah. And, yeah, so we might even start with that.
I woke up this morning, starting to rain. Stayed in the bed, late for the train.
And we'll work up a verse and we'll figure out a verse.
It's fascinating, really. You know, when you hang out with a group of people, you start to see the world through their eyes, or literally, or not through their eyes. I mean, I've been having these strange dreams about, you know, being blind, actually, over the last 3 weeks. Amazing. And just kind of thinking about, oh, wow. Oh, this is what it faces. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm a perfect sight. You start to empathise, I suppose, with people.
I love the train, though. I think the train, it conjures up so many great images.
Well, we had a couple of trips on the train, because we had to travel down from Euston Station to Port Leash. It doesn't make that sound anymore, but it's the sound that we make, you know, the chick, trains don't make that sound anymore. They're perfectly silent. But psychologically, we know what we're talking about if you hear that sound, even if you're a kid. It's a combination of theatre and radio, because it's nobody's moving on the stage, so it's like a radio play. Really, it's like a live radio play. Is really what it is.
Okay, I'll come back to you. You won't try it again. Lovely. And then from Burnley onwards, around the lads up here.
Kieran Taylor is helping Barry and the group fine-tune their sound effects and timings.
We're going to combine a couple of journeys. So I might actually use your one there, Barry, that sort of route. So it's along the wall, the grass.
It's a very good insight into how somebody who is visually impaired would have to, you know, 50 yards of grass on the left-hand side on the wall.
So it's the day before my wedding. I'm walking through town, passing Abbey Street Lewis stop, just about to cross the tracks, on my way to get a haircut. Yep, coming up to the...
Didn't realise they put up a new pole for the Cross City Lewis?
Didn't realise they put up a new pole for the Cross City Lewis.
Whoa. So everybody ow when you hear the bang. So didn't realise they'd put up a new pole for the Cross City Lewis. Bang. Ow. So really wallop it there, Moira. Okay, and Barry. Wait for Barry, yeah.
Just a bang, is
so
it
when
Barry?
So when you hear...
I didn't realise.
When you hear Cross City Lewis, bang. Yeah.
I didn't know they put up a new pole for the Cross City Lewis.
Val, as usual, prefers to use his own script.
So, Val, I've made it to the bus stop.
If you go to Port Leash, you can't get on this bus.
And now start the heavy breathing. Val, but there's no bloody taxis.
There's no bloody taxis.
So I'll have to start walking.
I have to start making a run for it. And I'm
I'll have to start making a run for it.
I'm making a run for it.
So, I'm going to have a feckin' heart attack.
Jeez, I'll have a feckin' heart attack before this.
Sorry, No, all good. Yeah, okay, so I get to the station.
I get to the station.
Oh, the bloody stairs.
Up the stairs, holy Jesus.
I can hear the train coming.
I'm fucking trainers on the other side. Trainers on the other side, and I'm still on this side. Fuck's sake, okay. I'll get the lift.
It's the 9 a.m. for Houston.
It's the 9 a.m. for Houston.
And everybody, get on the train. I made it.
Thank God.
Okay, Sean, lead us off, and everybody join in then.
Bob Marley's Three Little Birds will be the final song in the live show.
Every little thing's gonna be all right.
Back on the train, home to Port Leash, Sean Byrne talks of a moment of magic he had with Steve Whittle.
So, Sean, how did you find today?
I found it was great, yeah. It was very intense, but it was great, yeah, meeting the other group from Dublin and the group from Navan.
And you sang with Steve Wickham, I believe.
Steve Wickham sang with me.
Okay.
I did. And it was an absolute honour to play and just one song with Steve Wickham. Yeah, it really was. It's amazing, yeah.
And was it an impromptu? Was it?
What's impromptu? He just handed me the guitar, and it's a Spanish guitar, which is probably more difficult to play because it's a wider neck.
Right.
But I gave it a couple of strums, and the first thing came to my mind was "So Long, Mary Ann," the Leonard Cohen song, and I sang it. And then Steve did a solo on the fiddle as well. It was lovely. Yeah, it was.
Another unplanned moment of beauty featuring music again, and Marion is at the centre, singing in full voice with Sean playing the Spanish guitar, and Steve Wickham can't resist playing his fiddle alongside them. It's moments like that that are so different than anything you could ever be involved in.
It's impromptu, and it's not rehearsed, and it's not practiced, and it's just, yeah, you just go for it.
Yeah, that's
the way I like it.
It's coming very near to the performance. Would you be worried about it or thinking about it? Or
the one thing about I've noticed about this, Anne-Marie, and it's difficult to do an acting part when you can't read a script. So you have to try and remember everything. That's where, he's very good at that, because he keeps prompting you and telling you what to say. And it's like a massive big jigsaw, and it's going to be put together. So it'll be interesting to see what the end result is going to be like.
Yeah.
But things you miss when you're vision impaired.
Yes.
I used to love pottering around at home. Get the lawnmower out. I miss that terribly. Yeah. Especially when the weeds, you're walking around the garden and you know the weeds are gone, so you can't concentrate upon them. But the other thing I miss as well, I have two granddaughters. One in Galway, Molly, she's 3 years old, and Rosha is in Montreal. Now, we'll see them fairly often. See Molly every month nearly, and Rosha every other day as well. But you miss not being able to see them.
Yeah.
They're there, and they're sitting on your lap, and you're chatting to them, and they're chatting to me. But the fact that you can't see them.
Yeah, can't see them growing. Growing.
But then you're terrified when you're walking around the house if Molly's there, in case you walk into her.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you miss not being able to see them.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose as well, you probably have a mental image of them, do you?
Yeah, I have, yeah. Yeah. And I would have seen Molly, I would have been able to see her a year and a half ago, because I had some little bit of vision.
Yeah.
But I had surgery last year, and during the surgery, the retina detached, so I lost the sight.
That was tough going,
all right, yeah.
And your sister is here with you today, Bernie, isn't it? And this is your second time to come with the group. Do you like coming?
It's nice to actually just help out. But I can see, you know, that vision impaired people need somebody there to give them a hand. It's very, very difficult when they're going to a new place, especially travelling on the train, getting onto the Lewis. You know, they need somebody there with them to guide them. And it's very difficult, especially when the trains are crowded. Houston Station is crowded. But it's actually very nice to attend. This man here, Val, is a terrific help to everybody.
Val, are you asleep, are you?
Well, halfway there, yeah.
Yeah. But you seem to really, you're very much yourself. You have your feet in the ground.
I do, yes, yeah. I savour, I think, but I'm alive and kicking and not bad for 83.
You're having a very good life.
I have a very quiet life now at the moment. I only go out once when my son comes down, we go for a few pints and a meal in our garments, and we enjoy that and have a good yap and see how my exes are doing, and he gives me all the info. To wash my so long, Marianne, and we began to laugh and cry and laugh about it all.
Another moment of magic with Sightless Cinema, featuring Sean Byrne from Mountrath, his sister Bernie and Val. Coming up,
the final rehearsal, and a standing ovation. It's the final performance day in the Dunamaze Arts Centre. The date, 24th of November. Kieran Taylor is standing in front of them, very proudly, reading audience feedback. They've just performed in Talla's Civic Theatre and in Navan, and it's the final day where they'll perform in the Dunamaze Arts Centre.
Really brought home what it's like to be without sight. Very touching, but what a positive response. Thank you. Also to remember, they are just like the rest of us. Whoa, she figured it out. What did you like? We liked the spooky parts. Also the end, seeing everyone united and enjoying themselves. So that's important. Keep smiling. An amazing experience. My husband is blind. I liked all of it. So relatable, funny, serious, true to life.
And so what would be Kieran Taylor's favourite moment after all these months?
What we're waiting for tonight is, you know, that audience coming in, you know, because the journey is very important, but the end of the journey is really what the journey's all about as well. It makes sense of the journey. It's like, this is the moment, yes, when we've created something that is genuinely entertaining. There's this sense of communality, and that's what theatre is all about, is really coming together, creating meaning together. Everything is about this moment. Because that's what I'm interested in. That's my artistic mission, is when people come together to generate meaning together by being together and listening to each other. That's what I'm about. It doesn't matter who I'm doing it with, you know. I just happen to be doing it with blind people from all around the country. How can I really get an audience to be really together and feel something and learn something from each other?
And now, Sightless Cinema Network presents Are You Blind or What?
But I'm never quite sure how I'll get there.
I rely every day on the help of strangers. I lock my front door, and now it's 10 steps to the garden gate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I jump over the gate.
Jump over the gate.
Now it's 40 steps to the manhole cover.
Grass on my left for the next 50 steps. I hit a bin. Ah, I must get around it. Now, where was I? 10, no, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Damn it, I've lost my count. I'm going to miss my train. Another bin.
When you experience it properly and close your eyes and realise, you know, they have to live through their mind, they have to live through make-believe, they have to live through all those things.
You are listening to Morning Ireland. It's 8:30 and now it's time for the news.
Something hot spilling on my foot. My coffee! Feckin' Egypt.
It was very good, like, and so it is someone like me can't see the action, but like with the great sound effects, I was able to, you know, visualize and follow the story and to enjoy it, you know, so found it good, yeah.
I rely every day on the help of strangers.
Community worker from the NCBI, Nicola, who encouraged the members to join Sightless Cinema.
I've seen snippets of it, but seeing it all together was just something else. It was really brilliant. I think the song at the end just really made it.
Baby, don't worry about a thing.
And Marion, she's such a beautiful singer, and she'd never let on. You know, when you speak to her, you'd have no idea. No, it was really brilliant. And to see them smiling, like, everybody's just so happy and so proud of themselves, like they should be. And all their families here, their friends are here. I think it's just brilliant. It really is.
Jerry McHugh's mum, Vera.
I felt it was amazing because we'd, like, John would have been with them regularly and he'd tell me little bits, but when you see it all together, the finale with every one of the cast there, it was very moving. And what I found was that it made you think, you know, like, I'm going to miss my train or my bus, and I'm going to, you hear them bumping into, you know, what we all take for granted.
I'm going to be late. Oh no, the bin lorry.
I forgot it was bin day.
I'm going to miss my train.
The last time I was on a train was 1991. I drove every road.
And like, back. It's really only 2 years since Gerald has lost his sight, so it's all new to us. I have to say, he's discovered a whole new circle of friends.
It was very good. Yeah, it was really good. Quite funny, some of them. Yeah, so, and the horse and no jockey. Got a good old chuckle out of that one. So the bit that got the giggle for me was the 3-in-1 oil.
What's the name of that oil you use on us?
Won't you use the 3-in-1?
I told you that there was a smell of engine oil off it.
Oh, Jesus,
what are you doing? Oh!
I should do one now.
Oh, Jesus!
Now, I do you as well, Mrs. Mattini.
No!
I tell you, I won't be going for a massage with 3-in-1 oil.
Loved it. No, loved it. I didn't know what to expect coming here. It was like listening to a radio play. It was like Seacombe and Milligan back on stage. They were superb. They were brilliant. I have to say that I was quite emotional towards the end, particularly the last piece. As somebody with full vision and all my senses, that you just don't think, just don't realise what these people go through every day just to get out and about. It's powerful.
It was great to see the craft of what they do, the whole team and how well they pull together. Even in the one with the the robin, the leash one, where the robin's in the kitchen.
Oh, now he's moved away from me. Oh, my God. Where is he? Oh, there he is. Out. Oh, he's going. Oh, dear God.
Spending time with people who are losing or who have lost the ability to see outward has made me realise the place to see or feel the best light is actually within us. You become much more aware of it when you're in the dark. I also learned that there is hidden beauty in the everyday things, like the piano in Houston Station, or making someone laugh. To borrow a line from The Little Prince, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Special thanks to Sightless Cinema Network, Dunamay's Arts Centre, and this programme was funded by the Arts Council. Original soundtrack, Steve Wickham, and the original pieces in this documentary written by Sharon and Paula Grant on piano and violin. Thank you for listening.
Are we going to call her a day or what the f***?
Good. Or something like that. I'm writing that down now. Are we going to call it night? Or what? The bleep.